so much fun on a radio show.
Fun within prescribed limits.
Broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios.
The government and parents everywhere, they tried to ban it.
This is the George Plaster Show.
He's a fine man.
He's a great broadcaster.
Brought to you by Bart Durham Injury Law. Call George now at 615-844-5600 and online at WNSR.com.
He's a very powerful guy.
And now, here's the man, the myth, the legend, George Plaster.
And hello again, everybody. Welcome in on kind of a blustery Friday in Nashville, Tennessee, where the temperature at this moment is a balmy 41 degrees.
Ugh.
But we really cannot complain. Watson Brown will join us today around 2:20. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, is with us in studio. Terrence, how art thou?
Doing good, George. Trying to stay warm.
Are you?
Yes.
Is it working?
Somewhat. It's not too bad here in the studio.
Give me the very latest Titan news.
Well, the injury report is not out yet, but it looks like that both Adam Humphries and Jayon Brown are on track to play. Humphries is going to make the trip, which is, you know, a good sign for him, and they're going to see if they can put him out there and run him a little bit and see, test that ankle to see how he's done, because he has practiced some this week. And same thing, Jayon Brown. It sounds like that he may be a go as well. Then off the field, there were some awards given out today. Ryan Tannehill was named by the Pro Football Writers Association as the 2019 Most Improved Player and the 2019 Comeback Player of the Year. Won both of them.
Which is really interesting. I bet at age 31, there aren't many who go from one level of play to a completely higher plane. By 31, normally you are what you are.
Yeah, it's that way in a lot of cases. Now, quarterbacks are a little different breed. They're sort of like pitchers. You know how sometimes a pitcher will flounder around, then all of a sudden he comes up with a split-finger fastball and he's effective?
Well, no, that's what your people tried to put out there with Roger Clemens before he misremembered in front of Congress.
But that sort of thing has happened. Yeah. You know as well as
yeah,
I do.
It has.
And sometimes quarterbacks seem to figure it out and find it. I mean, we've seen it in the past. You know, Jim Plunkett is a good example. Tommy Maddox is a good example. Rich Gannon. So Tannehill may have
good
found
examples.
You know, Tannehill may have found a new lease on life here.
Yeah. You also got a weather report a little while ago. What did you get out of there?
This was courtesy of Corey Curtis from Channel 2 on Twitter, and he showed a picture of what it looks like in Kansas City. They're currently having a lovely ice storm that shut down the airport.
Shut down the airport.
Yes.
The good news is supposedly all this will be out of there by tomorrow morning.
Yes, hopefully, because
hopefully.
I have a 1 o'clock flight that I need to make.
Yeah. What's your gut feeling?
I think the Titans just need to stick with the same formula that's been working for them. Run the heck out of Derrick Henry and play good defense, and then take the opportunities in the pass game when you have them. I think they need to win time of possession. They need to have a big play on defense or special teams. And because I don't think you're going to – I think Kansas City's a little like Baltimore in the fact that you're not going to completely – shut them down from moving the football. But as things get closer to the end zone, that's when you got to, pardon the pun, tighten up.
Yeah, I've heard that some this week. My biggest worry is three road games in 3 weeks. You for sure see it on the college front that 3 in 3 weeks can be a real problem.
Yeah, because you don't do that in the regular season. You know, you never have more than two games in a row on the road in the regular season. But if you count in the regular season finale at Houston, so this would be 4 games in a row on the road. But the one thing that I got to give credit for in that regard is that Mike Vrabel has these guys buying in to what he's selling in terms of this is the path that's before us.
Yeah.
Let's go take care of business. And I think to a man, they've bought into that.
I am one of those that wants to see both of our professional sports teams do well. And if you think, it's been seldom that we've had both of them cooking with gas at the same time.
It's been very rare.
Yeah. It's been one getting it done as opposed to the other. And all of a sudden, right now, we seem to have a little bit of a shift where the Titans are really getting it done and the Predators are not. And some of you know it, some of you don't. I am royally pissed off at what I saw last night. I am new to the Twitter world, but I put a tweet out this morning that has gotten more attention than any other tweet I've ever put out there, and I'm going to read it here in a minute, and then at 3 o'clock, I'm really going to talk about it.
So you're saying you're not exactly as Twitter savvy as the president might be or something as far as using it?
I don't think it's a this just in, okay? But here's basically what I said. The lack of passion shown last night by the Predators is truly puzzling. Every night, Bridgestone Arena is packed with fans who love this team. Thanks to incredible effort by ownership, Sean Henry and his staff, it's time for the players to get their act together. And I have been absolutely, by the way, if you're not following me, George Plaster TN is how you can follow me. I put out a couple of things last night that were sort of a precursor to what I put out there this morning. But suffice it to say that the thing I put out there this morning got more attention than anything I've ever put out. Last night, I tweeted out, disinterested Preds now down 4-1 after giving up a shorthanded goal to Anaheim Ducks. Lots of fans leaving Bridgestone Arena early. They're the smart ones. What is wrong with this team?
It's a good question.
So what I'm getting at is, okay, they fired a coach. Probably half the locker room was thrilled about that. They've brought in a new guy. It's too early to be blaming him for any of it. Their lack of any fire last night was shocking to me. Hal Gill, who I guess is paid by the Predators to do radio work, said it last night. I listened to him. He said, I kept waiting for this team to play with its hair on fire, and I saw nothing. And I'm pissed off. The players aren't showing any level of pride. If they had any clue how hard Sean Henry and his staff have worked to get that building sold out every night, if they had any clue the level of how that ownership group cobbled up $193 million to keep that team from going to Hamilton, Ontario, and having to play for that termite Jim Balsillie, they wouldn't be playing like this. I don't know what's going on. I don't pretend to know what's going on. I don't give a damn what's going on. It's David Poyle's job to figure it out. Clearly, at this point, he hasn't figured it out, or he'd have put a stop to it. But I'll guarantee you, David Poyle was ashamed and embarrassed for that performance last night. And if he's not, I sure as hell am.
Well, one of the things, and trust me, I'm a hockey novice. When it comes to talking what's wrong with the Preds, I'm one of the last people that you would probably want to ask. But that said, I do have a microphone in front of me, so I'll throw this out there.
That's a scary deal.
It is a scary deal.
Yeah.
But when the Titans were at the end of their first run, when they, you know, they had gotten here, and in 99,
right,
they made it to a Super Bowl. In 2000, they were the favorite to go to the Super Bowl but got upset. They kept the core of the team together through 2004. Well, they had gone to the playoffs again, went to the AFC Championship in 2002, went to the divisional round where they lost on that frigid night in New England where it was 0 degrees in 2003. And they felt like that team even though there was a little bit of diminishing returns in terms of how far they were advancing in the playoffs, I think they felt like that in 2004 that it was worth keeping that team together
for one more year
and not blowing it up with the salary cap being what it was then. And they had a bunch of key injuries. They had some guys who didn't play very well, and that team fell apart, and we all saw it unfold right before our eyes. The Predators have kind of done the same thing. They had the Stanley Cup run in 2017, and ever since then, they have gone one less round, or they have not made it back to that realm in the playoffs since the 2017 Stanley Cup run. So they made a couple of changes, brought in Duchesne, traded Subban, but basically kept the core of this team together for one more go-around. And I think they're maybe suffering from a little bit of the same thing that the Titans did in 2004, in that there's a little bit of familiarity breeding contempt, and this thing, you know, maybe a couple of these guys aren't as good as they were 2 or 3 years ago, and the thing is starting to rot from the inside.
I don't pretend to know. I now know without any shadow of a doubt something is really wrong in their locker room. They play with no pride or passion. Four of their last five home games have been complete stink bombs. And I'll tell you what that does. I've said it before. Nothing drives season ticket holders away quicker than getting your hat handed to you and having it happen over and over and over and over. And that's starting to happen way too much. And, you know, I'm worried about it. I want to see both teams excel. We fought like the devil to keep this team. Sean Henry and his staff have fought like the devil to keep it sold out every night, and the players don't seem to give a damn. And I think it's high time that the players get called out on it, because their effort last night was pathetic. Really was. Now, let me read you a story here that probably hasn't gotten a lot of attention yet, but it's going to. Former Cy Young Award winner Jack McDowell today accused Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa of having a camera-aided sign-stealing system installed when he was with the White Sox in the late 80s. McDowell, of course a Cy Young Award winner,
once known for flipping off the fans in Yankee Stadium,
never played for La Russa, who was fired by the White Sox during the previous season. However, in an appearance on the Mac Attack on WFNZ in Charlotte, McDowell described a system that he said was put in place by La Russa. We had a system in the old Comiskey Park in the late 80s. The Gatorade sign out in center had a light. There was a toggle switch in the manager's office, and a camera zoomed in on the catcher. I'm going to whistleblow this now because I'm tired of this crap. There was that. Tony La Russa is the one who put it in. He's still in the game, making $500,000, you know. No one is going to go after that. It's just, this stuff is getting old, where they target certain guys and let other people off the hook. Wow. Hello.
That is
pretty heavy stuff. That just came out. An hour ago.
Can we get some proof about this?
Well, I don't know that we can. But since McDowell has put it out there, I'm sure that we're now going to...
The whole Altuve thing yesterday pretty much lit the internet on fire.
Yeah.
With the whole, like, looks like a microphone on his under his shirt and
yeah,
all that.
And it looks like saying, no, I'm wearing a piece or, you know,
yeah,
or something
like
that.
It's like he's saying, I've got a piece on.
Yes.
So Watson, I know, is with us now from up on the plateau. Watson, when you played baseball, if you knew what was coming, how much would that help you?
Oh, good gracious. I'd say the batting average would go up 200 points. And I'm not talking about going up that in the major leagues, but through the ranks I came through, there's no doubt. If you knew what's coming, there's a few times that you did when you were a player, and there was some times when I thought I knew, and I was playing for that pitch, and it was some of the best hits I ever had. So The thing that's interesting to me, guys, through all this is I was in this in the Southwest Conference, the old Southwest Conference, and when you caught the first one, then it was the second one and the third one and the fourth one, and before you know it, there was no conference. It was gone, and it split up, and that's what split the Southwest Conference, was cheating. And there is no way, guys, these are the only two men that ever come up with something like this. I got a feeling we're gonna be hitting on this for the next year with different things that happened. And it's going to be real interesting to watch Major League Baseball, George, handle this as another piece pops up, because believe me, it's going to happen.
Okay, after the break, we're going to get Watson's take on what he thinks is going to happen in Kansas City. Then we'll be joined by former Titans coach Jeff Fisher, who will join us to talk a little bit about that, a little bit about pro football, a little bit of anything. And then at 3 o'clock, we're going to have some fun and open things up. I'll get all hacked off again right at the start of the 3 o'clock hour and say a lot of the same silly stuff I said a few minutes ago. After last night, I'm pissed off. The players are not giving the kind of effort in that Predator locker room that is needed. From the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, you're listening to WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood, or an earthquake is destroying buildings. When a tornado is tearing through town, or a hurricane strikes, or is the best time perhaps today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. And it's not always as simple as using your cell phone. That's why now is the time to take action. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Crank up the fun, Nashville. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show is coming January 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Music City Center. Three gigantic days of fun and savings on the new RV of your dreams. See the all-new RV models and save thousands with factory incentives, huge dealer discounts, and low financing with special RV Super Show factory savings. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. Tour hundreds of new RVs, including motorhomes, pull behind, pop-up, toy haulers, fifth wheel, luxury RVs, campers, and conversion vans. Then choose the one to start enjoying the great outdoors with your family and friends. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. Friday, noon till 8. Saturday, 10 till 8. Sunday, 11 to 5. Adults, $10. Kids, 12 and under, free. Visit bkproductions.biz. Download a $2 off coupon, bring it to the show, and save. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. January 24th, 25th, and 26th. At the Music City Center. Produced by BK Productions.
The official NFL app has you covered on all things playoffs. Never miss a second this postseason, because the NFL app is your key to watch every game of the playoffs for free on your phone or tablet. Plus, get all the latest breaking news, videos, and highlights of your favorite NFL teams and players. Download today at NFL.com/mobile or in your app store. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply.
My buddy James Warren is with me in studio, class of 1977, Battleground Academy, and owner of Sir Speedy, now Sir Speedy Music City. I know you've changed the name, but the service continues to be terrific.
We are the same people that you've come to love, and that's Sir Speedy Berry Hill is now Sir Speedy Music City. We did that just to be a part of the community that we're in and show our love for Music City. Even though we go all over the Southeast, we do most of our business here, and we love this city.
Phone number and the website.
615-832-9511 or SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
Who was the company that heard the ad?
Donut Distillery over in East Nashville heard the ad and said, if you know George, then we'll do business with you.
Boy, that is scary. But here's the bottom line. You go in and see them, and when you do, you tell them Plaz sent you.
It's a Bill King Show.
The reason why college football is such a passion is because it's scheduled and situated as perfectly as you can in sports. There is no other sport that leaves you wanting and yearning and grasping for more like college football.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
You're listening to the George Blaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
2:24 is the time. I'm told we're headed right to the phones to say hello to former Tennessee Titans head coach Jeff Fisher, who is on the line with us. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing great. George, how are you today?
I'm good.
Good to hear your voice. Your voice brings back a lot of great memories, by the way.
You know what? It does, on the flip side as well. Terry, I don't know if you remember this, but in training camp, you know, he would always hold at the end of a practice session a media scrum. Hey, here's what we did today, blah, blah, blah. And so he had given me a bunch of crap about my bobblehead. And so I had Jonathan Hutton tape the bobblehead to his microphone so that when he stuck the microphone in the scrum, all Jeff would see was the bobblehead.
Nice.
Instead of the microphone. You did see it, didn't you?
Yeah, I saw it, and I was impressed at the intelligence behind the bobblehead, because it literally sat there and waited its turn to ask a question. Didn't have anything to talk about, so never said a word in that press conference.
Right. It was probably the best interview I ever put together, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. Yeah. It was off the record. Yeah.
I wanted so bad to force you to just stop and go, oh, Lord, what is that? And Jonathan just absolutely destroyed me. He said, Jeff just kept on. He said, I know he saw it. He said, he never batted an eye.
That's right. Well, you never know what's behind some of those crafty maneuvers, George, but you're always at the best at getting information out of me. So I miss that.
Well, let's try that here. We've got me, Watson Brown, Terry McCormick in on the show. And let me start with one that I just want to kind of get your feedback on. The Titans are going on the road for the third consecutive week. And in college, when you see a team do that, oftentimes that team falls apart in the third game. Do you worry about that at all here?
No, I really don't. It's interesting. I'll go back. When the Titans in late September were playing the Colts at home, you remember they retired Steve and Eddie's jersey, and I got an opportunity to participate in that and be reunited with a lot of those former players. I mean, everyone from Javon Kearse to Chris Johnson, Lindell, they were all there, and it was really good. But I sat upstairs and watched the game, and I thought, my gosh, things have to change here. They're so close. It's just there's things that just aren't clicking. And then to see where they are now compared to then, it's really been an impressive run. And it's that run that I think Terry will probably remember, in that, hey, it's a small market team. We'll play anybody in the parking lot. We don't care where it happens. We're just going to be us. And it's so reminiscent of those old days. And, John Robinson and Mike have done such a great job with that, especially Mike on the day-to-day, how he handles the team and the players. And I'm sure, I don't know what happened today, but I promise you, they had a hard practice, because that's all they know. They're going to go out and practice, and that back's running if he's healthy. And, they're looking forward. They got nothing to lose. And the team that has everything to lose is the team that's sitting up there waiting in Kansas City right now. And I promise you, Andy Reid's not getting a whole lot of sleep. And I know Andy. Believe me, I'm friends with Andy. And Andy's waking up in the middle of the night, and he's having these flashes of 22 over and over and over again. It's like, how are we going to stop this back? So, you know, I think they've done a great job to this point. Going on the road and winning another one is no big deal. They weren't supposed to win the last two, and they did, and they did it their way. So, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to this.
Jeff, we're just a little past the 20th anniversary of me having to leave the stadium before the great moment to get over to the Wild Horse to report on a Buffalo Bills 16-15 win over the Titans in the playoffs that ultimately changed. By the time I got up on that bridge and heard that roar, then I've had some fun with it on the air because there really was nothing I could do about it. I had to go. What kind of flashed through your mind as you saw that play have a chance?
Well, there's George, you were probably on the same elevator with my father and Bud Adams because they were also heading down the elevator as well at that time. But, you know, I've had opportunity to, you know, to discuss it in detail, to reminisce, to go back in all the background behind the play, Coach Lowry's and my conversation prior to, you know, the end of camp about how we need to change things and maybe go this way with it. And it's just but for the listeners, that was the play that kind of set us, you know, or put us on the map and got us going. Because I remember, and the guys will tell you this, I mean, our team didn't have any playoff experience. And I reminded them that if we can find a way to get to this, and we're not going to play good, because you don't play good in your first playoff game. But if we can not play well, not play our best, and yet find a way to win, then things are going to start to snowball and they'll get easier. So, you know, that play itself really, I mean, I you know, from playoff significance, probably second to, you know, the Immaculate Reception up in Pittsburgh, but as far as playoff history is concerned, but it really put this franchise, you know, on the quote NFL map, if you will. You know, we took it from there. So, yeah, we had to go on the road three times. No one's thought we would beat Jacksonville three times. Jacksonville's had two losses to us. They're coming off a 60-plus win over Miami. And, you know, we went down there and found a way to do it. But we didn't change anything. We were who we were. You know, we needed a play. We needed a big play. We got big plays. I'll remind you that, you know, Derek Mason returned a punt after a safety for a touchdown. So the safety was huge. The return was huge. And it's going to take that kind of play in this game for the Titans to beat this team. There are similarities, you know, but this is a very, very explosive offense. And, you know, the mindset is, hey, you know what, if they kick a field goal good, it's a win for us. You know, if they get 10 yards in a first down, it's okay, make the tackle. Just don't let them put eight consecutive scoring drives together like they did last week against Houston or whatever the number was.
Jeff, oftentimes these days, and I think in a lot of cases very unfairly, you've gotten pigeonholed into this 8-8 number. But I know the truth, which is in the first year when you all moved here and you were working out of basically a trailer park, it was a miracle to get to 8-8. Do you ever find yourself wanting to fire back on that one particular piece of the equation that some of us who were here back then know to be the truth?
Well, I do, George, but it's okay. You know the truth. People know the truth. It's the way the world is now. They don't want to go find out the truth for themselves. They're going to take somebody else's comments and believe that it's the truth and just respond it or retweet it. But that's okay. I mean, there was a 5-year stretch back then where nobody in the league won more games than we did as the Titans. And, you know, there's there's home field advantages there. Now, granted, you know, the 2000, I believe, and I'd like to hear Terry's opinion on it, I think the 2000 team was better than the 99 team, and we blocked two punts go sideways, and I don't think they had a first down the second half, and Baltimore goes on and beats the Giants in the Super Bowl. And that happens. That's the great part of the National Football League. But we had some teams, and then after the household names moved on, we still had teams. We won 10 in a row. And remember, I jumped out of an airplane, a Black Hawk helicopter, and parachuted down on the practice field. And if you do that now, that's not national news. That's international news. And back then, it was no big deal because practice was closed. And so, you know, we had a lot of fun, and the 10 in a row with Kerry, and then even the playoff appearance with Vince. And, you know, even that the last time we played Baltimore, you know, they needed a Algie Crumpler fumble, who never fumbled, and Lindell White fumble in the red zone, who had great ball security, and no Chris Johnson the second half, and they won. And so, you know, we had some great battles and some great runs. And it's the one thing that you don't see now in the NFL is people, a lot of teams just miss on how to sustain. You know, they're the New England's and the Seattle's and the Pittsburgh's and those teams that have continuity. It looks to me like the plan here, the formula here, once again in Nashville with Mike and John and Amy and everything, is let's build this and sustain it. Now, yeah, we have some questions that may have been answered with respect to the quarterback position and Ryan. But, you know, right now they're building for the future. And oh, by the way, they happen to have a big game this weekend, because this team is going to sustain based on my outside opinion on how they put it together.
Jeff, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to go to a break, and then you and Watson can compare who had the worst facilities, Watson when he birthed the UAB program or you when you got to Nashville.
Oh, wait. Okay, I'll look forward to it. Let's go to break, Watson, and we'll brainstorm a little bit. But I'm going to win this one, I promise.
And stay tuned. We'll have more with former Titans coach Jeff Fisher, so stick around. My buddy James Warren is with me in studio. Class of 1977, Battleground Academy. He's the owner of Sir Speedy Music City. The name has changed, but let me tell you one thing that hasn't. They do great signage. If you don't believe them, go in and try it, right?
Absolutely, George. We love doing signage. That's a big part of our business. And if it has to do with trade show displays, banners, posters, directional signs, big signs on the side of your business, window decals, graphics, you see us all over town, and we love it.
Well, the bottom line is you want your company to look good. Now, give people phone number, website, that kind of stuff.
You can reach us at 615-832-9511. SirSpeedyMusicCity.com is our website. Print at SirSpeedyMusicCity.com gets you to it.
Bottom line is you want your company to look good. When you go in, tell them Plaz sent you.
Okay, let's say your business does $5,000, $20,000, $100,000 or more in monthly revenue. There are probably times when you need more cash flow to run your business, right? Right. If you're a business owner in this situation, you need to call the Merchant Cash Advance Line right now. We're not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We're a direct lender with the power to approve deals. We look at your business and we decide how much money to lend you, good credit or bad credit. If your business is solid, we can lend you up to $500,000. You can use the money for anything you think is right to run your business. If you need money and you don't want to deal with a bank, call now. Learn how easy it is to get up to $500,000 in as little as 2 to 3 days.
Call now. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. 800-452-4846. That's 800-452-4846.
Crank up the fun. Nashville. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. It's coming January 24th, 25th, and 26th at the Music City Center. Three gigantic days of fun and savings on the new RV of your dreams. See the all-new RV models and save thousands with factory incentives, huge dealer discounts, and low financing. With special RV Super Show factory savings. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. Tour hundreds of new RVs, including motorhomes, pull behind, pop-ups, toy haulers, fifth wheel, luxury RVs, campers, and conversion vans. Then choose the one to start enjoying the great outdoors with your family and friends. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. Friday, noon till 8. Saturday, 10 till 8. Sunday, 11 to 5. Adults, $10. Kids, 12 and under, free. Visit bkproductions.biz. Download a $2 off coupon, bring it to the show, and save. The 2020 Nashville RV Super Show. January 24th, 25th, and 26th. At the Music City Center. Produced by BK Productions.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
240 and really happy to have former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher on the line with us. We've gotten a little silly about it, comparing infrastructure when the Titans moved to Nashville and when UAB sort of had their program, as I always call it, birthed by Watson Brown. Watson, say hello to Jeff.
Jeff, how are you? It's nice to talk with you.
Good,
you've always been one of my favorites. And
oh gosh, you mean to tell me the University of Alabama didn't pay for your facility down there in Birmingham?
Matter of fact, University of Alabama tried to run us off, Jeff.
Oh, they're still doing it. I know.
yeah, they still are, for that matter. That's amazing, so George, because that was going to be my first question, Jeff, is because I know what we went through. We had practice fields with sinkholes. We had to put we had to put barriers around the sinkholes in the practice field and practice around them, stuff like that. Just talk a little bit about how hard that is. What I can remember back, we did that in the 90s. What I remember back then, you had to have patience because – things weren't going to be done right away, but you also didn't want to have a lot of patience because you wanted things done and you wanted to win and you wanted to get on with it. And just talk through that whole thing. I remember Jeff being at Rice as head coach and AD at Rice, and Bud Adams and his people came to me and they were fighting to get out of Houston then. I was at Rice in the 80s. And they were going to play games in the Rice Stadium because they were fighting with the Astrodome. So I know this whole history and how it went down. Just talk through it because you were such a big piece of getting through that whole thing.
Well, first off, out of fairness, by comparison, you had to recruit. So that made it especially hard on you. We didn't have to recruit or sell anything. Free agency was somewhat limited, but still, you know, you gotta, at the end of the day, you can only make so many excuses for why we hadn't called Critter Ritter to come out to remove the family of skunks that were living underneath the steps to the trailer. And so I watched them do it. You know, I probably had to pay for it, but no indoor facility and, you know, all those things. I mean, you think back and go, oh my gosh, because the numbers, I remember it this way, 2, 5, and 6, okay? Two franchises, 5 different cities, 6 different stadiums. Now that didn't include the practice facilities. So, you know, having to come in and, I mean, Bud wouldn't pay to have a divider put up in the trailer to where we could divide up offense and defense. So we would send the offense next door. Oh, by the way, they shared a building with a pediatrician in the daycare, so it's no surprise that your guys would come back to work every day with an ear infection or something like that. But yeah, that thing was. I can go on and on and on. I remember Bud didn't even, he wouldn't give us a satellite dish that the NFL gave him, and he put it in his house in Houston. He traded with a painter to paint his house in Houston. So I had to take a VHS tape over to the sports bar just to see what our opponent was doing for the next week. That's the pro scouting department that we had back then. So, yeah. Yeah, it was some great memories. But you know what you do? Same thing as you did. You just circle the wagons and you tell the guys, hey, look, okay, we'll just play them in the parking lot. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And, that was kind of, I think that was a contributing factor, at least, you know, when we moved in there and 97 and then Vandy 98. And by the way, George, has Vandy changed those locker rooms since 98? Probably not.
Not that I'm told of.
No.
Told.
Yeah, no, so, they have not. They have
so
been.
Anyway, that was our course, and that's the legacy. That's why the facilities are as they should be. Amy's done a great job with everything here, and they're on the map finally, and they deserve the success.
Yep. My second thing that I just anxious to hear you talk about this. The change in style of offenses, Jeff, that we're starting to see. The quarterbacks coming out of college are different now, and watching these different teams take these offenses, it's leaning more in college directions, and you're starting to see different offenses now. In the old days, as I grew up, everybody was basically doing the same things. Jeff, where do you think this is headed? Is it just a quick fix thing here? Or are we going to start seeing more of the Lamar Jackson type things? Does it fit the NFL? I've always said, Jeff, if you're going to get Lamar Jackson, you better go get a Marcus Mariota, somebody that can also do the same things because he's liable to get hurt. You better have another one that's really good behind him. How do you feel about this and what defenses are having to do with it and all of that?
Yeah, it's forcing defenses to change, and you're accurate on that with respect to the backup. I'll go back to, I'll go back to my first year in St. Louis, which had been 2012, and my in-depth conversations with Mike Shanahan, who was the head coach of the Washington Redskins at the time, and we did the RG3 trade with them. And Mike felt so strongly about the fact that this kind of guy comes around once every so often, and I never forget Mike saying that he leaves the defense short a player. So when you add the legs to the quarterback, the defense is outnumbered. So, as I watched this year, especially Baltimore, you add legs like that that Lamar has, and now the defense is down two players. So back to it is I really think that's going to be heavily dependent on the health of this type of player, because the defenses in the National Football League are so fast and strong and quick and powerful that one shot could potentially set a franchise back games or years if they commit to this. But we saw what happened this year, and then go figure, a team, the quarterback's a little out of sync. He might have got caught up in maybe the hoopla and all that stuff, and a week off, and the big back takes the game over, and guess who's moving on? So, it's interesting. I think it's a result of, you got a lot of young college guys coming into the league right now that are like the thing to go to with respect to the general managers and the owners. And hey, here's the guy that did this with this quarterback and did that. We'll go get this kind of quarterback and we'll be fine. Well, it's not that easy. But defenses will change. It doesn't take these guys in the National Football League long to go in and watch and see what Dean Pease did, for example, last week. And, you know, we went through it a year ago when New England, they had the blueprint for the Rams. Everybody that copied it beat the Rams, and those that didn't. But, you know, it's a trend. And so, you know, it's a hard question to answer. But, I mean, I think I've given you enough information on if you can keep him healthy and he's special, then ride him when you can. It's like having a back. You know, your running backs basically are going to last 4 or 5 years in the NFL if they're your workhorse. Well, ride them as long as you can and win as many games as you possibly can before you have to make a change.
Well, and then, Jeff, to me, Mike was doing a lot of this with the Redskins. And what stopped it was RG3 got hurt, if you remember.
Well, that's exactly now his son out there is in the championship game this weekend and with a guy that has some mobility, but he's basically a young quarterback that I think has a great future in Garoppolo, but he still has the legs to get out of the way. But, you know, and now he got hurt. But, yeah, it is. I mean, Mike, that was the one thing that set the Redskins program behind and eventually, you know, helped Mike get it, go out the door was the fact that he got hurt. You know, and he goes to the playoffs his rookie year and gets hurt, actually, in the game against us, of all people. But, yeah, I mean, you know, if the guy's got the ball in his hand and he's between the boundaries and the goal lines, I mean, he's going to get hit. And, you know, it's just a matter of how many of those they can take.
Terry, we spent more time on skunk eradication than I thought we were. So I got time for one question from you. Make it the best question of your life.
All right. Jeff, great to catch up with you. And I'll share one thing with you before I ask my question real quick. I do believe that first year over at Bellevue, that the media trailer was also shared, I think, with the special teams that year.
Yeah, it was. Al Lowry's up there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, look, I mean, you guys remember the the Vikings came into town with Randall or somebody, and they're 15 and or 14-1, and we had that ice storm. We didn't even practice that week because we couldn't even have a walkthrough in the parking lot because it was iced over. And you're right. Yeah, I remember that. And then we had to be on a lookout. I had to post guys wherever with binoculars just to see how many practices Al Davis was actually watching in person.
Oh, gosh.
Yikes. But, all right, fire away, Terry.
Okay. You got one. Make it your best one.
All right. The Titans made a quarterback change, went to Ryan Tannehill 6 games into the year. Now, you have experience with that from your time here. You went in 2008, you switched from Vince Young to Kerry Collins, and in 2009 you went back from Collins to Young. When you make a switch at the most important position on the field, what does that do? I mean, that has the potential to fracture your locker room, but what do you as a coaching staff have to do to ensure that that doesn't happen? Because it seemed, in all 3 cases, it seemed to spark the team and make them play better.
Well, I mean, it's the players are smarter than you think. I mean, they understand. And sometimes change is good. But the players know that when they see the tape, they watch practice, they see what's going on. And sometimes that position, Terry, is so dang hard to play. And especially when the player in question gets into year 4, 5, or 6, I mean, you could do a study. I've looked at, I've talked to people over the years. There's a funk that they go into in year 4 or 5. Steve went into it in 2000, early on, after he got hurt against Kansas City there. And Neil came in. Steve was in it. You know, guys around the league go into it. And it's just that 4th, 5th year that is hard. But from a coaching standpoint, you tell the truth, man. I mean, that's what you do. You stand up and you address it and you tell the truth and you tell the players that. And you know, sometimes you need a spark, and sometimes the guys need a break. I mean, obviously Vince's need for a break was his own doing when we went with Kerry. And, oh, by the way, we won 10 straight with Kerry. And then Vince kind of settled back down a little bit and thought that maybe he had figured things out. And unfortunately, you know, in the long run, he didn't. But that's where you go. And as far as Marcus's deal is concerned, I mean, you know, we were in the market for quarterbacks, and I made the trip to Oregon, and I met Marcus and got to know him very well prior to the draft and everything, and really felt that he had the skills and everything. But in his defense, he's had a coordinator change every year. And that just is, it's overwhelming and it's hard. I'm not saying Marcus is done, but Marcus needs a fresh start. And this thing was a combination of perfect timing. Who knows? Had Eddie not had his conversation with Derek, you know, around the same time they made this change, and then Taylor not come back, and someone else healed up and got a couple defensive players back and such. It's the perfect storm. It all came together, and they're benefiting from it right now. But it's not an easy thing. You take the car keys out of one guy's hand and you give them to the next guy. But the best way, I think the proper way to do it is to do it in front of the team, you know, and so everybody knows why, and everybody feels like there's no surprises, and they're all behind it. They might disagree. There may be a friendship here or there, but bottom line is they want to win. And that's what happens as a result of this change.
Jeff, you were good to come on and do this. Would love to do it again sometime down the road. Thanks for taking the time to come on here to talk football and skunks.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, let's fast forward a couple days away. The Big Back can handle it. We just need, I don't know about the kicking situation here. I don't know. I mean, haven't they scored a touchdown on like 40 something straight drives and not kick the field? Whatever it is for possessions. Yeah. So I hope it doesn't come down to a kick. That's all.
Amen.
We'll just let it go. But it's going to be a big play, and it's fun, and it's really exciting to at least to be able to share my experiences with, you know, the fans here that deserve this opportunity to pull for their team in a championship game.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, guys.
Former Titans coach Jeff Fisher on the line with us. We'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Southern hospitality with a modern twist. Kitchen Notes in the Omni Nashville Hotel offers a farm-to-fork experience for breakfast, lunch, supper, and Sunday brunch. Kitchen Notes uses the freshest ingredients to create great food in a casual dining atmosphere. Don't miss Nashville's only award-winning biscuit bar, serving up a house-crafted sweet, savory, buttermilk, and gluten-free biscuit every day. Try our award-winning patty melt or the grilled pimento cheese sandwich with a side of house-made Tennessee honey slaw, and dessert is always a must in our house. Whether it's in the main dining room or two of our private dining rooms, be sure to make Kitchen Notes part of your downtown Nashville experience. Check out Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville. For reservations, call 615-761-3700. Complimentary valet parking is always available.
You can enjoy the new year with more games, more chances to win, and even more fun from the Tennessee Lottery. And you can play any way you like. Play quick and win big with instant games. Or try drawing-style games that pack a big money punch. So don't drop the ball. Make a resolution to put a little more cash and a whole lot of fun in your pocket today with the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Extra! Extra! Read all about it, folks! Feast your eyes on the most fascinating thing you've ever seen! The new special edition Jumbo Box! That's right! Extra! Extra! Hot off the press, these special edition Jumbo Box games are loaded with prizes and sweeping the state! Hurry! Get them while you can!
Hot off the press, special edition Jumbo Box instant games, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Madame Tussauds is Nashville's most interactive, famous fun experience and the only all-music-themed wax attraction in the world. Through the end of February, Tennessee residents save $14 with the 10 for Tennessee rate. Where else but Madame Tussauds can you sing along with Patsy Cline, strike a pose with Justin Timberlake, rock out with Elvis, or take a selfie
Black
with Carrie Underwood?
Custom Construction is reminding motorists.
Sing, dance, and make memories as you step into iconic musical moments in rock, pop, blues, jazz, and country. To get your $10 for Tennessee rate, just present your ID to the friendly admissions staff at Madame Tussauds, just inside Opry Mills. Madame Tussauds Nashville, unforgettable, famous fun. staff.
There will never be another Luther Vandross, and no other voice comes closer than Ruben Studdard.
Here and now.
Sings Luther. March 8th, Skarmahorn Symphony Center. Ruben Studdard in a night of timeless hits. Perform the way Luther performed them in concert. Tickets on sale now at NashvilleSymphony.org.
Black Oak Custom Construction is reminding motorists to slow down on our roadways, keep an eye out for kids at play, and never text and drive. This tip is from Black Oak Custom Construction, serving the area with pride and quality service for over 15 years. There are local window replacement experts. For windows, doors, siding, decks, and more, give Black Oak Custom Construction a call at 615-605-7264. Black Oak Custom Construction, they're professionals who care.
Live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios, it's the George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, hope you enjoyed talking with Jeff Fisher as much as we did. It's great to hear him, and it sounds like he's doing well, and I'm happy for that. Always had a lot of respect for him. Also believe he's probably the only guy that could have put up with all of what he did in the early going. He was the right coach when pro football came here. We're going to go to the phones, to Twitter, to Facebook. Jack, in 20 seconds, how do they do that during the 3 o'clock?
Yeah, so find us on Twitter, at The Plaster Show. Just tweet any questions you have towards us or anything you want to discuss. On Facebook, you can go to Nashville Sports Radio's page, and you'll see the live stream of our show. Just comment with whatever's on your mind there, and we'll get to it.
I promise it will be lively.